Do you believe that? God is only good? Always good? Sometimes we say, yeah, of course, when life is good. But why would you want a God who's only good when your life is good? I want a God who is good no matter what's happening in my life. And I do have that, and so do you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm very grateful that I get to be here this morning. We get to be here. My family does as well. And Merry Christmas to you as we all go into this season of time. And very grateful for Pastor allowing me to come in and preach today. And what a blessing. We love your church. And when I say that, that means you, because you are the church. So we love you guys and are grateful for this time of the year and for, again, the goodness of God. Well, I've been asked to bring the message to this morning and even tonight, so I'd love to even see you tonight as we once again study the Word of God. But we can chat and so forth at the end of this time today. We're not here to chat right now. Let's look at the Word of God. So I would invite you, if you would, to take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, please. John and the 14th chapter. We're going to look at one verse this morning, and if for whatever reason you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. I'm actually going to put the verse up on the screen here in just a few minutes. But I invite you to have your Bible because I want you to see that I'm not making any of this up. Now, before I go to the text, I do have a picture I want to show you and talk through here. How many of you have seen this picture that says coexist? Maybe you've seen it on a bumper sticker on a car as you've been driving and so forth. Well, of course, this is a brilliant, brilliant bumper sticker if you've seen it. Maybe you know what it means, maybe you don't. It actually powerfully communicates tolerance in our world. And you know that. Each letter is a symbol representing primarily a different religion or a different faith, certainly different ways of life. The C in the coexist, of course, is the crescent, which stands for Islam. The O is the peace sign, tolerance, acceptance. An atheist could fit very comfortably in this particular letter, or someone who may consider himself or herself a non-religious person could fit in on the O. The E is a math equation. It stands for male is equal to female. Now, in one sense, I actually agree with that because we are all made in God's image, and particularly in there is no difference. We are all made in the image of God, but of course, that's not what it means. It actually deals with sexual orientation, and increasingly in our world, the gender fluidity can fit into this letter as well. The X, of course, is the Star of David, representing Judaism. The I is the Wiccan symbol, representing paganism. The S is yin-yang. It's Taoism. It's the forces of good and evil in harmony. More of the Eastern religions can fit in this particular letter. And then, of course, the final letter, the T, is the cross, representing Christianity. Whether you find yourself in the evangelical strain or the Catholic strain or the Orthodox, wherever it may be, that represents Christianity. Now, again, this the folks and the individual who designed this really did a fantastic job in putting all this thing together. And it does say, let's achieve peace through tolerance and love. Let's end this hateful, divided nation. Regardless of your creed, regardless of your race, now I would say ethnicity because we are all one race, the human race, but you understand what is being said. Regardless of that, regardless of religion, regardless of your stated sexual orientation, let's celebrate the beauty of the diversity of these different faiths. We are all finding our own path to God. You have no right to say my truth is wrong. Of course, I have the right to say your truth is, but you have no right to say that about mine. Let's all live in peace. Let's all live in love. Let's all live in tolerance. This is powerful, isn't it? Don't you want to live in a world full of love and peace and tolerance? I do. Don't say you don't, you do. But the question that I want to ask us this morning is this: can the follower of Jesus coexist? This is a very important question to consider because there's a lot of confusion among Christians. And consequently, there is a great amount of confusion among non-Christians as well. And this morning, I'm not so much interested in what you think about the coexist movement. I'm far more interested in what the founder of Christianity thinks about the coexist movement. Let me put it to you this way. If Jesus had a car, would he have a coexist bumper sticker? Some people, maybe in this room, would say yes. There are people all over this world. Yes, he would. There are other people in this room would say no. Of course he would not. Well, again, I don't care what you think. What does he think about it? What did he say about the coexist movement before it ever happened? And that's where I want to take you to one verse in the scripture here in John 14 that I consider to be the most divisive and the most controversial statement that Jesus Christ ever uttered. Before I read it to you, I want you to know, I want to give full disclosure here. This is explosive. It's scandalous. For the United States of America and the 21st century, what we're about to read is downright intolerant. But these are not my words. These are the words of my Lord. Do you know what verse we're going to look at? Verse number 6. Jesus said unto him, the him there is Thomas, we're going to look at that. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is Jesus' unmistakable claim to be the only way to God. In this statement, Jesus gives no room for another route to God. He gives no room for another road or another religion to God. Only Jesus gets an individual to God. Therefore, only Jesus can get you and me to God. Now, don't misunderstand me. The Church of Jesus Christ must love people from all different faiths. And I would say this, from all non-faith as well. We must, as the followers of Jesus Christ, interact with people who disagree with us or we disagree with love. We must interact with grace and with understanding. And in that sense, we actually can coexist. We should coexist. By that I mean loving, listening to those who have not yet come to faith in Christ, identifying with those same desires in their heart for peace and love and joy. But let's be honest, there is so much more to the coexist movement, as it is stated, than just peace and love. Their message is very clear. You have no right to say that I am wrong. And in that sense, the Christian cannot coexist because that is a direct attack on our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must love Jesus Christ more. If Jesus said he is the only way to God, then I must say it. We must say it without apology, even if we will be labeled intolerant or ignorant. So let me state it for the record. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is the only way to God. Now, maybe you are offended by what you consider to believe an intolerant, hateful statement. And if so, that's understandable because this is an offensive statement. But don't turn Jesus off just yet. Even secular historians have concluded that the most influential person in the history of humanity is Jesus Christ. So would you at least let him say what he said? Let's at least discover what he said, what he meant by what he said, and then decide whether or not you are going to believe him. So at least hear him out. But my burden this morning is to present a case for Jesus Christ being the only way to God. But I want you to know right off the bat, I cannot convince anyone that Jesus is the only way to God. That is not my job. My job is to announce it. My job is to declare it. My job is to proclaim it. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convince people that Jesus is the only way to God. And full disclosure, I have prayed for him to do that this morning, and I fully expect him to. So what I would like to do in our remaining time is to give you three realities about the most controversial statement that Jesus ever said. We're going to see, number one, that what Jesus said here is very clear. It's a very clear statement. You cannot misunderstand him. We're going to spend almost all of our time on this first point. And if we have time, we'll move on to the other two. We will then see, Lord willing, that this controversial statement of the Lord Jesus is also a comforting statement. When you understand the context, Jesus said this not to be controversial, but to be comforting. And it is a most comforting statement. And then, at the end, we're going to see that this is a compelling statement. If it is true that Jesus is the only way to God, you got to do something with him. It's a compelling statement, all right? So that's where we're going this morning. Number one, the statement of Jesus Christ as being the only way to God is clear. You cannot misunderstand him. This was stated at the Last Supper, hours before his crucifixion. He's about to leave this world. He's going to die and be resurrected and eventually leave. And he's telling his disciples that I am leaving. You cannot follow me now, but I'm coming back. Don't worry. You know where I'm going. You know how to get there. But his disciples are confused and troubled. Verse 5 in your Bible, one of his disciples named Thomas said, "Time out, Lord. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know how to get where you're going?" And then he says in verse number 6, "Let me be abundantly clear. Don't be confused. I am going to my Father in heaven. One day you will join us in heaven because you have me. I am the way, the truth, and the life." So let's take these three statements here and just be as clear as we possibly can. He says, "I am the way to the Father, the way." How many of you ever heard this statement? There are more than one way to skin a cat. Have you ever heard that statement? Is that true? I don't know. I've never tried. And I'm not going to try. But you know, that's pretty much true about everything in life. Yankee ingenuity, United States of America, we'll always find another way to do it and do it better. There are multiple ways. There are more than one way to get to the number 4. There's more than one way to log on. There's more than one way to get to Chicago. There's more than one way to read a book. There's more than one way to fix a burger. There's more than one way to die. Pretty much everything in life, there's always more than one way to do it. That's what makes this statement of Jesus so starkly clear. He gives no room for multiple ways to get to God. He says, "I am the way. There is only one way to God, and it is Him." Now, I have in my wallet a key card. Maybe your business is this way. I know at my church, at Burge Terrace, just not too far away from here, a few years ago, we went away from the actual key and went to a key card. And bless their hearts, they still allow me to have one of these. And so if I want to go in there during the week, the doors are locked, but I come to the door and there is a little keypad right there. And I can't get in. It's locked. I cannot get inside. Oh, but I can whip out my key card and I can scan it on that little box. Now, there is an access code that's inside this card that is activated. When I press it up next to that, the door is unlocked, and I have the freedom to enter in. That makes sense to us. But what if I got to the church building one day and I did not have my access card with me? But you know, I've got a lot of other cards here in my wallet. I have a bank card. All right, this is tied to my banking account, such as it is, but nonetheless, I have this. What if I wanted to get into the building and I took out this card and I pushed it up next to the box? Am I going to get in, yes or no? No, but this has an access code to it. The problem is it's a faulty access code in more ways than one. But it is a faulty access code. It's a beautiful card, but it won't get me in. That's okay. I got a lot of other cards in here. I have my library card, the Indianapolis Public Library. This is a very powerful card. This card has an access code in it that gives me access to the accumulated wisdom of humanity. I can find anything I want in that library. But will it get me into the church building? No. Faulty access code. I can go on and on. I got a Starbucks card too, but that's not going to help. The point is, all of these access codes are valid, but they cannot get me into the building that I need to get into. Back in 2014, Pew Research did a poll that discovered that 72% of Americans believe that there is a heaven. It's pretty high, 72% of Americans. And of those Americans who believe there's a heaven, of which I am one, 85% of those believe they're going to that heaven. Well, that's good. I hope you believe there's a heaven. I hope you know that you are going. But if you are here this morning thinking that you are going to get into heaven, my question is, what are you trusting to get in? There's a lot of us, we think, of course I'm going to get into heaven because I'm trusting my religion. You know, I've been a part of a church. I joined a church. I got baptized. And you get into heaven and it's going to be denied. You know why? Because baptism isn't Jesus. Church membership isn't Jesus. You can't get in. Some people said, well, you know, we live in a Christian nation. We were founded on Christianity, and the majority of us would be Christian. So yeah, of course I'm getting in. The problem is the United States of America isn't Jesus. You're not going to be let in. I did the sacraments. I passed confirmation. Here's the biggest one, and that is my own goodness. Sometimes we get this idea that when we get to the end of our life, we want to get into heaven, and there's like this giant scale where all my good is placed on one side and all my bad is placed on the other side. And as long as my good is just a little bit more than my bad, whoo, I get to go up. I don't have to go down. But there's one problem. Your goodness isn't Jesus. Your goodness will not get you in. It will always be denied. Maybe you are here this morning with this mentality and you say, Andy, I got you here, bro. I classify as an atheist. I'm not even really sure there is a God. So none of this really matters to me. Okay, to that I say, fine, but don't you see that you're exactly like the religious person? They've determined what works for them at the end of life. You've determined what works for you at the end of your life. We all have what we have come up with. We're going to be fine at the end. But none of those things are true. None of those things will be accepted. You are trusting your own way to be okay, and what works for you is no God. But all of these access codes at the end of life are always going to be denied. Jesus here says, I am the access code you need to be accepted by God. Ephesians 2:18, through Christ. We have access by the Spirit to the Father. Romans 5:2, by our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace. He, Jesus, is the access to peace. He is the access to grace. He is the access to God. He is the access to heaven. He is the way in, and you will never be denied if you go in through Jesus. There are times I've tried to get into the church building with my right card, and the computer hasn't been working. But praise God, if you go through Jesus, you will never be denied. Those who come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Have you come to Jesus? You say, well, why is Jesus the way to God? What makes Him so special? Well, look at the second statement. Because He's the truth. That's why He's the way. The reason He's the only way is because He is the true access. All other ways are faulty codes. We here come into the Christmas season, we are celebrating the incarnation. That's what Christmas is, the incarnation celebration. You know what that means? God became flesh. God became a man. John 1:14 says that when Jesus came to this earth, watch this, He was full of grace and He was full of truth. John 1:17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said in John 18:37, everyone who is of the truth hears My voice. What exactly does this mean? You know what I read this week? I read, and I'm going to mangle the quote, but it went something like this. She's just speaking her truth. Is that not a great statement today? Her truth, His truth, My truth, Your truth. We all have our own truth, don't we? Jesus comes along and He says, I am the truth. So that means whatever your little truth is, or whatever my little truth is, if it does not match up with the truth as it is in Jesus, you don't have the truth. You have something else. And if you don't have the truth, you have the lie. Jesus will not lie to you. He tells you the truth about the truth. He Himself is truth. Now, there is a truth, quotes, out there that is very appealing to Americans, and that is this. There are many ways to God. Sadly, though, that's the exact opposite of what the truth said. So, therefore, it cannot be the truth. It must be the lie. It does not match the truth as it is in Jesus. In fact, Jesus said this about the devil. John 8:44, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He does not abide in the truth because there is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of lies. So the one who is the truth states for the record that Satan is a liar. Satan traffics in falsehoods. Let me put it bluntly. Jesus is the truth. Satan is the lie. Now, you can sit here today and say, well, Andy, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. I'm sorry, it simply doesn't work that way. Just because you say a lie is true doesn't make a lie true. And just because I or someone else says you are believing a lie doesn't make me or them guilty of hate speech. Oh, that's a big word today. Let me try to illustrate this. Is it hate speech for a father to tell his teenage daughter that the cute boy she met online is actually a 46-year-old man? Is that hate speech? Now, she may think it is. She may look at him and say, you're a monster, Dad. You have no business telling me what I should or should not do. I know this guy. He's special. He is wonderful. And it's a beautiful lie. It's a special lie. It's one she so wants to be true. But he knows the truth. The father knows the truth. And so he will risk her anger. He will risk her hatred. He will risk her slander. He will risk everything to protect the girl, the daughter he loves, from being destroyed. So call him a hater. Doesn't make him a hater. He's actually trying to do one of the most loving things. So it is not hate speech to tell a person they are trusting a lie that will eternally destroy them. And my friends, believing that there are so many different ways, we're kind of all finding our way in this life. And Jesus isn't the only way. He may be a wonderful way. He may be an awful way. But you know, we have our own way. That is a satanic lie and it will eternally destroy you. For the truth says, He is the only way. So let me be clear. If you are trusting anything but Jesus to get you to God, you are trusting a lie that will eternally ruin you. And I realize you may sit here and say, how hateful, how intolerant, how bigoted. How arrogant. Andy, it's you and people like you why we have such hatred and bigotry and discrimination in this country. Doesn't your God say to love? Where's the love? Yes, my God has said to love. And sadly, I'm going to be the first to admit that I do not love as my Savior loves. Please be patient with me as I seek to follow Him. My God does say to love, but my God also says, I am the only way to God. I can't pick and choose what I like and what I don't like. He says, I am the only way to God. I am the only truth of God because I am the only life of God. I am the life. You want to talk about love? Let's talk about love. And how love is always tied to life. People say that this statement of Jesus, or what Christians hold to, is intolerant and unloving. All right? Let's talk about love. Let me ask you this question. What is the ultimate expression of love? Now, we are being told today the ultimate expression of love is unconditional acceptance. Have you heard this? It sounds really good. Unconditional acceptance. You accept me no matter what. That's ultimate love. Is that? I mean, it sounds good. Is that ultimate love? Well, let's ask the mother whose toddler is playing in the street and a car is bearing down awfully fast on that oblivious child. Ultimate love. Here you go, Mom. What's she going to do? Is the mother going to say, oh, look at my son. He identifies as a person who plays in the street. Far be it from me to tell him that he shouldn't be doing that. That's what he wants to do. I'm going to accept him and what he desires no matter what. I mean, if that's ultimate love, is that what she's going to do? You say, no, that's ridiculous. Of course it's ridiculous. Because ultimate unconditional acceptance is not ultimate love. That's indifference. What's the mother going to do? She's going to do everything she can to run and rescue that child, if necessary, take her son, toss him to safety, and maybe even sacrifice her own life so the one she loves could live. You see, my friends, ultimate love is sacrifice. It is giving up your life so someone you love can live. Our great president, Abraham Lincoln, said that. Gettysburg Address, 4 months after the massacre that happened there. Dedicating the battlefield, what does he say? These honored dead who gave the last full measure of devotion. Abraham Lincoln said it. Ultimate love, I give up my life so those I love can live. The cause they believe in. Well, good for Abraham Lincoln, but long before he was ever around here, Jesus Christ said the same thing. You're there in John 14. You may want to go across the page, perhaps. John 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest love is sacrifice. I die so you live. John 3:16, let's talk love. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes on Him would not perish. They would not die, but rather have life. Everlasting life. The life that comes only from Jesus Christ. That's John 3:16. How about 1 John 3:16? Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we know God loves us, because He laid down His life for us. That's what Christmas is all about. The birth of Jesus, who would eventually sacrifice His life for guilty sinners like you and me, so that we could pass from death to life. This is love. God is love, but He is also just. There's a big cry today. We want justice. We demand justice. We want perfect justice. And we should want a world of justice. But you be careful. The moment you start crying for perfect justice, understand you're calling for God to focus and to deal with your sin too. There will be no perfect justice until you are dealt with. And your sin is going to be dealt with. My sin is going to be dealt with. The Bible says that the wages or that punishment of sin is death, which is the opposite of life. That is the penalty of our sin. You work a job. Well, the more you work, you earn money. It comes payday, and you say, I have worked hard. I have earned this. You give me what's coming to me. Give me my paycheck. I earned it. Well, you have sinned. Guess what? You've earned something. You didn't earn money. You earned death. And there's going to be a payday one day, and that payday is coming. Let me put it as bluntly as I can. You have sinned. You have to die. You earned it. You say, I don't like that. Well, I guess you weren't in the eternal counsels of the triune God when they determined it. This is what you have earned. Judgment is coming upon you, and you cannot do anything to stop it. You need someone to help you. You need someone to step in your place. And that's what Jesus did there on the cross. He gave up his life and took your death so that you might have his life and escape your death. This is what the cross was all about. And Jesus said, because I live, this is later on in John 14, verse 19, because I live, you shall live also. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the guarantee that all those who have placed their faith in Jesus will beat death. Why Jesus is the only way to God? Because he is the truth and he is the life that you need to get to God. So let him be abundantly clear. No one gets to God except by Jesus. See, well, I don't believe that. I read a book that said that Jesus never said that. Someone else said it, or said that Jesus said it. Modern scholarship has disproved this, Andy. Don't you know this? See, I can't convince you, can I? Only the Holy Spirit of God can. But I will end with this. Let God be true and every man a liar. Jesus' statement is clear. Now we move on to number two. You see, that was the longest one. It's also comforting. See, that doesn't sound very comforting. Actually, it is. Because in the context, John 14 begins with these words, calm your heart down. Be comforted. Don't let your heart be troubled. Where are you going, Jesus? We don't know where you're going. John 14, 6 is Jesus' words of comfort. Thomas, you're okay. There's no need to be afraid. You have me. You have found the true and the living way to God. You're fine. Relax. Be comforted. My friend, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, relax. Stop running around this morning, Christian, worried if you've done everything right for heaven, if you've done everything right for God, like you could do anything anyway. The only thing you've done is earned death and hell. That's why you needed Jesus. He has done everything that is necessary for you. You sit here this morning and say, I could never get to heaven. Look at all I've done. Exactly. You need someone to detox your soul. You need someone to clean you, to forgive you. He takes away sin. He makes you entirely new. He gives you a fresh start. He gives you a fresh beginning. Come to Jesus and find rest. Come to Jesus and find hope. Come to Jesus and find life. Come to Jesus, find forgiveness, find freedom, find permanent, total, complete cleansing. Come to Him. This is the record. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is the best news you could ever have. If you believe Jesus died and rose again for you, you have received Him as your Lord and Savior. You're good. There's peace and comfort and joy. This is a comforting statement. Number three, and we're done. Jesus' statement is compelling. If it is true that Jesus is the only way to God, and it is, it is imperative that you find Him and you trust Him. You must do something with Jesus today. Pastor, I know, I heard him say this a lot. What will you do with Jesus? You can either receive Him or you can reject Him, but you cannot be neutral. We live in a social media age. You cannot like Jesus. You either crown Him as Lord or you crucify Him. What have you done? Let these words of Jesus sear upon your conscience. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot coexist with Jesus Christ. You say, well, how does someone get to God through Jesus? Again, let Jesus speak. Mark 1:15, He says to repent and to believe the gospel. To repent is to turn your back on your former way of life. It is to say, I no longer want my sin. It is to say, I no longer want the penalty of my sin. I am tired of what my sin has brought me and is bringing me. I'm done with it. I'm turning away from that. I like one man how he put it, I'm declaring war on my old life. That is to repent, but in the same moment, it is also to believe. To believe is to depend, it is to cling, it is to grasp, it is to depend upon Jesus Christ. There's a great hymn that says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Jesus, do for me what I could never do for myself. I've endeavored to do my best to give you the gospel message of Jesus Christ this morning. And a choice is laid before you. Will you receive the truth as it is in Jesus, or will you reject and continue to believe the lie that will eternally ruin you? That is the choice laid before each one of us. Many of you in here, you say, I've received Jesus Christ. Okay, then stop worrying about your salvation. He's done it. You've rest in it. Return to Him. Rejoice in it today. You say, I haven't. Here's the choice. Receive Him. Don't reject Him. Call out to Him. God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. You say, maybe you're here and you say, Andy, you give me a whole lot to think about and I'm not so sure about all this. Hey, I was once where you are now. Think about this. Dwell upon this. But understand, no matter where you land today, you're not going to land neutral. You're either going to walk out of here rejecting Him once again, or you're going to walk out of here having received Him. You will be doing something with Jesus today. If I can be a help to you, I'd love to. I know Pastor would. Anybody here would love to help you. Ask your questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. The Bible has the answers. So ask away. But come to Jesus. He's the truth. Stop listening to your heart. Listen to Him who is the way, the truth, and the life.